Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men by men. Not even the ladies want to miss it. And as always, we take on topics about life, love, relationships, social challenges, and we always do it from a man's perspective. And tonight will be no different. We are the show that talks about things that our society hasn't addressed in decades, sometimes maybe never. For the past several decades, we've heard everything about life, love, relationships, social challenges. We've always heard it from a woman's perspective. And when women did attempt to speak up for men, well, women tend to shut those women down. So here we are, able to have these conversations, and men get to speak the way men speak, the way men think. And it's a great place for women who want to better understand men, to be educated and learn things about men and even engage them in a way that normally they don't, because men are not shut down here. So join the conversation. We always have interesting and provocative discussions. In many cases, they are not what you would call political correctness, and they can be quite provocative and maybe even insulting to the ladies. Not the intent to insult, except as a society, how do we address anything or accomplish anything? We have a divorce rate that's over 50%. Clearly, that's a sign that marriage is not working in the U.S. So how do we resolve it if we can't openly discuss things and have a conversation on both sides of the table, where both sides are actually heard? And as I said, for the past few decades, we've only heard women's side. So here we are, Straight Talk, where we get to have really straight conversations about important issues. And the ladies, if you'd like to join us, that's great. But this is an opportunity for you to hear a man's perspective. One that I would say has been missing, and maybe one reason why the divorce rate is raising so high. You know, and thinking about divorce rate, corporate America is losing $6 billion in workplace productivity every single year because of the D word, divorce. And there's nothing in our social structures, organizational structures, there's nothing in our society that will allow us to recoup that $6 billion in lost productivity, because so many people are getting divorced with over 50%. Think about it. At some point, a percentage of your employee population is headed for a divorce. There's another percentage in the middle of a divorce, and there's another percentage that has just come out of a divorce. Do you know how devastating that is? Yes, we are live, Lando. Yes, yes, yes. I see you in the house. Thanks for joining. SW, I see that. Good to see you. SW, Lando, country boy. Justin, good to see you in the house. What's going on? So I'm sort of building a case here. So as a nation, we are losing productivity. We're losing the effectiveness of minds, because if you're headed for a divorce, in the middle of a divorce, or just coming out of one, you're not going to be as effective as you could be. And people who are working, you know, they're going to be distracted. They're going to be distraught, unhappy about this divorce. Most divorces are not very pretty. And men tend to get the bad end of the stick. So if we're losing $6 billion in workplace productivity, what else are we losing as a nation? And we don't, as a nation, have this conversation. Corporations, we just kind of take it as a loss, right? We don't address it. We don't look for how to stop it. We just take the $6 billion loss in workplace productivity, and that affects other aspects, social aspects. It has an impact on poverty and homelessness and crime. It impacts so many different aspects of our country, our nation. And so one of the things men are doing in the U.S. to avoid divorce, the ugly divorce with a woman here, is they're going off to other countries. So I wanted to tie that in with our topic. So the question is, are women really that different around the world? You know, some guys are going abroad and they're finding women in the Philippines and Brazil and Dominican Republic, Colombia, even our neighbor, Mexico. They're finding women in these nations. They're going to Africa, Ethiopia, and many of them bring them back and they learn some tough lessons. Some men actually are able to work it out. They have long-term relationships, marriages that they would consider to be successful. And I hear what you're saying, San Diego. They're different because of different experiences. Maybe. Maybe, SW, maybe. Maybe. Maybe she's with someone else and she's leaving. And Lando, that's a challenge, right? So women come here. I even know guys from Latin America, born and raised in Latin America, Guatemala, Mexico, Dominican Republic, Colombia, and they didn't come here until like in their late 20s or early 30s. So they are from their country, culturally speaking. And they meet women from their country here in the U.S., and the women they meet could have been like them, come here as an adult. And they see the change. They also meet women in their country and will bring them here and see exactly what you just said, Lando. They change circumstances. So I actually want to explore, and I'm going to play some videos for you guys. And we're going to look and see if women are really different around the world. Are they? So we're going to look at countries where perhaps, let's say, men find those women desirable. But I want to go off the beaten path also. And I want to look at women in places that men traditionally don't go to see if there really is a difference. And SW, you say that this is just the way women are and they don't change. So, and San Diego says women are different because they have different experiences. What's going on, Red Pill Mike? I see you in the house. Country boy, you're asking to come in. Romeo got Instagram, got game. Oh, Romeo got game. So, what's going on, country boy?
Oh, nothing much. Just enjoying myself.
Hey, you must have something else playing. If you getting some echo feedback there.
Yeah, that was that phone
size. All right, good. So Do you guys think all women are materialistic? So wait, before I even go down there. So people, some guys are saying women are different because they have different experiences. So if we look at the female body, a healthy woman is going to have a menstrual cycle. And those hormones are going to race. And she's going to, whether she's being moody, upset. Hey, what's going on, Steve-O? Thanks for joining. Thank you. So a woman from any nation is going to have a menstrual cycle. And that's going to affect hormones. Victorino, good to see you in the house. So does that matter? Now, personally, I've dated women from every continent. And Central America, South America, Mexico, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, Europe. I've tried everyone's woman. And I've lived in several countries. So, you know, living in Mexico, Costa Rica, I went to obscure places like Greenland and Iceland. I went to a tiny country in South America called Suriname, 450,000 people at that time that I visited. So I've gone to so many different places, obscure places, and I've dated women from many different places. And when women have their menstrual cycle, there's some common ground. Now, to San Diego's point, there may be some cultural differences that don't allow for certain behaviors. So I was dating this woman from the Middle East. And I don't know, let's say I'd been with her for a couple of months. And she and I are walking around in New York. And she just starts like, you know, she just starts like kind of nitpicking at things. And I had never seen her act this way. And I asked her, when's your period? When is your period coming? Next week? And she said, what do you mean? What does that have to do with anything? I said, when is it? And she started to laugh. And she said, it's next week. I said, good. That's why you're like nitpicking like this. And she laughed and she kind of hugged me, jumped on my shoulders and said, no, it's not. And she changed. She stopped. Now, when I've done the same thing with a woman from the U.S., oh, man, they get upset and offended. How dare you say that? So you're saying I don't have a right to be upset about this, and you're not acknowledging my feelings. And I said, hey, look, as long as your period's coming next week, I'm not having this conversation with you. We can have it next week when your period's started or done. We can have it. And so she said, well, if that's the way you think about me, I'm not talking to you. She hung up. She sent me a text in the morning to say, guess what? My period started after I hung up the phone. So it seems some women in some countries where the men have a much firmer handle on female behavior and nature. And they have some constraints around what's allowed. It seems women can be a little more responsible. What's going on, West Coast? Thanks for joining, man. So I guess what I've seen that with other women from other countries that you can say, hey, look, you're upset. I know your menstrual cycle is coming, and I'm not going to get into this with you. And they seem to be more responsive. Here in the U.S., the women seem to be, oh, you're trying to control me. You're ignoring me. You know, they want to fight with you. They'll try and arm wrestle with you. What's going on, Cash? So you could say there may be some differences in how they respond, and you better believe many of those differences are because of how men hold women accountable in their societies. There's certain things are just not tolerated. and they understand that. So women have a menstrual cycle. They get pregnant. They have hormones, right? They go menopause. So there are some common things that all women will go through. You guys have seen me in the past post an article that talked about how there's a difference in the neurobiology of a man and woman. Women panic when men don't. Women worry, they have anxiety, they have depression when men just don't. The same situation in the same place, a man and woman, and the woman always responds differently. Women worry about things significantly more than men. That's why their attempted suicide rates are 3.5 times higher than men. Even though men commit suicide more, women attempt it significantly more, 3.5 times more. And you could say, well, that's just a woman trying to reach out for help. I mean, that's a hell of a way to attempt to kill yourself, right? Slit your wrist, take pills. And a big percentage of those women attempt a second time. And eventually some of them are successful. So women have this neurobiology that is very different from men. And that doesn't matter what her skin color is and what country she lives in. There's certain things that are going to be common. And you know, SW, I think you get at that female. There's some aspects of female nature that we know we're going to have to deal with. And so, SW, you're saying a lot of women are the same.
No, hell, they ain't,
Ted. Well, I don't know.
Female nature ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, you allow these women to go out here and sleep around like a man.
Well, I'm not talking about that. You know, whether they're being promiscuous or not. I'm talking about just the function of a woman's body. She's gonna have her menstrual cycle, and that's gonna affect her. It's gonna affect her.
Female nature got anything to do with the other stuff that you just got through talking about.
I didn't.
When those men and those countries got full control,
I got it. And so the other thing, when a woman has all these serious cramps, there are ways to deal with that. I don't care where she's from, what country, what nationality, regular sex, change of diet, change of mindset, that changes, right? These are just some good things for men to know to manage that. Yeah, their environment, and I think what in the U.S., what a lot of men in the U.S. don't seem to put the pieces together that environment includes men. So when women come out of a certain environment, they behave one way. If they come out of another environment, they behave a different way. So what's the difference in those environments? And it's the men in those environments. And that's what you're getting at. Country boy.
It's the power behind these people in these environments. That's what I believe, T.
Well, it's just the standard.
Take out the negativity, you won't have it spread like a wildfire. It's trying to spread overseas now.
Yeah. But you've got to look at how men raise their daughters.
I'm looking at that too. That's another attitude too.
See, that has nothing to do with the court system. How do men raise their daughters?
Right.
Court system has nothing to do with that. A lot of men are teaching in the U.S. are teaching their daughters to be feminists. They don't realize it. So I want to look at, let's look at I want to show you guys a couple of videos and let's see if women are really different. Let's look at Mexico. Hey, man, Lando, when it comes to raising your daughter, the law and the court system has nothing to do with it. Men are raising their daughters to be feminists. What's going on, Skip? Good to see you in the house. Martin's voice. See, when we say environment, you have to factor in men in the environment. You have to. There's no way out of that. So where do men stand in the environment? So let's see what, here's what I want to do. I want to look at women in different countries. The first one I want to look at is Mexico. Let's see if what Mexican women say about themselves is different. Let's see if when you get down to it, is there a big difference between Mexican women and women in the U.S.? And this is, they're right next door to us. You could say they're part of the Western world, maybe. But I lived in Mexico for about 2 years. And, well, I won't tell you. I'm going to let her tell you.
Speaking of which, everyone knows Mexican women are pretty. Y es muy difícil no enamorarse de nosotros. And it's very hard not to fall in love with us. But dating a Mexican woman also comes with certain obligations and expectations. And trust me, you don't want to get on our wrong side.
So, you don't want to get on the wrong side. Just for clarification here, copyright disclaimer, I don't own the rights to this. Under Section 107 of Copyright Act of 1976, allowance is made for fair use. I'm only using this for educational purposes. Comments, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, this is research. So fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that might otherwise be infringing. So I'm under Fair Use Act. I'm using this for educational purposes so that we could actually see, is there a difference? And so one of the first things she just said is that you don't want to get on a Mexican woman's bad side. Now, we hear the same thing right here in the U.S. You don't want to get on a woman's bad side. And I mean, so should men be afraid of women? I mean, you get on her bad side, what is she going to do?
She gonna get somewhere and sit down. That's what she gonna do to you.
All right, so let's see what else she has to say.
It's not as scary as it might seem. Actually, in this video, I will reveal 8 secrets for your relationship with that Mexican food to be just perfect. Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the Spring publishes Thrive for Life in Spanish. So if you click on this up, why don't you go ahead? Okay. So what's the deal with Mexican women? There's obviously no bulletproof recipe to having a successful relationship with a Mexican woman. But the secrets I'll share with you will certainly allow you to overcome potential bumps on the road. Secret number 1, chivalry is still Las mexicanas sueñan con un caballero. Mexican women dream about dating a gentleman. So, be one.
Does this sound familiar? So, isn't that what we hear in the U.S.? Be chivalrous, be a gentleman. This is what we hear here in the U.S. So, and it seems even in Mexico, women are not, you don't like her, SW. So,
age groups are saying it, though, T.
Well, what I'm getting at is chivalry only existed for women of nobility. You had to be of a certain ranking in society. Otherwise, they didn't give a damn about you. Most people don't know this. Back in the days when women believed there was chivalry, when a man and woman walked down the street, the man walked closest to the street. And most people don't know the reason for that. And women have a hard time hearing this now. They want to be in denial. The reason the woman walked closer to the houses is because people used to just throw their trash out the window. And women were just a human shield for the man because men didn't want to get the trash thrown on them. So the woman walked on the side of the house. So if it was thrown out, it would hit the woman and not the man. So now if you were a woman of nobility, that wouldn't happen. But for the average woman, there is no such thing as chivalry. So a lot of women get kind of confused about believing in chivalry. And so to be of nobility, there was a different education, there was a different behavior. And so chivalry could happen for those women who knew how to behave. Hey, yeah, Skip, I dropped an article for that feminists are getting, they're disappearing in Mexico. And then when they complain about disappearing, those women disappear. And then when the men try to defend and stand up for those women, those men disappear. I mean, they went into some dude's house, photographer, and they wiped him out. They snuffed him out, and everyone who was in there with him just happened to be women. Hey, guys, let's get the lights up on this video. Smash the likes. You also want to share this video. You want guys, so we're going, I want to address this notion where a lot of men believe they're just going to go to another country and women are going to be so different and they're going to bring back this jewel of a woman, or they're going to live in two countries and the woman is going to be so different. You know, for one, all women have a menstrual cycle, their hormones run, they get pregnant, hormones go crazy, menopause. You know, all these things happen, you know, and hell, I lived in a jungle with Mayan Indians. I lived in a jungle in Costa Rica, and women get hungry. They eat, sleep, go to the bathroom. They're all healthy women are doing the same things. And there may be some subtle differences. However, when it comes to a relationship, women, their brains function very differently. They get much more what you would say emotional. They worry about things that men don't. So if you go to another country expecting that women are going to be so different that they're unlike women in the U.S., you may be in for a rude awakening is what I'm getting at.
But tell yourself the truth, Ted. I bet you didn't see none of this feminism BS when you was out there in that jungle, though, did you?
No. When I lived in Costa Rica, You could only say United States as Estados Unidos. If you said United States, they never heard of that. I stayed with this family, and when I kept saying okay, he never heard okay. He never heard the word okay ever. That's how deep in the jungle I was in. And one day I was watching TV with them, news, and their news reporter made a mistake and said okay. And then a guy looked at me and said, okay. Like the first time he now understood what okay meant. So I was out there. What's going on, Sydney? Buddy, what's up? Ready Yeet. Thanks for joining. Sexy Indian. Yeah, thanks for joining. If you guys on Instagram, if you want to hear or see what I'm showing here, you know, you can join. Yes, W, that happens. They bring them back and get played. Hell, they bring them back from Ethiopia and she disappears, runs off and goes with someone else and says that she was being abused. Hell, look, Western women didn't have chivalry. See, the part of what I'm making is most women haven't even earned the right to have chivalry expressed towards them because they're not nobility. If you're not part of a noble class, you don't get chivalry. I understand women don't want to hear that.
Another thing, too, Ted, they need to stop calling women queens and goddesses and all that. That's what boosted their mentality. What you a queen of which country? Whose nation is you governing?
Yeah. Hey, Sydney, when I get done here, I went to the gym, worked on a little bit of this, you know, on that thing there, and I ate immediately after, so. So let's see what else she says about Mexican women.
What does that mean? At least three things. Number one, recógela y llévala de vuelta a casa. Pick her up and take her back home.
So, I mean, right, we're accustomed to this, that you take a Mexican woman on a date, pick her up, and take her back home, right? So we hear that here in the States, but sometimes you meet the person there. She's going to...
Heard that in other countries, couples meet directly at the movie theater or at the restaurant. However, in Mexico, women find it romantic if you pick them up at their place.
So she's also saying... And she didn't explicitly say it, Mexican women are looking for romance. So what's the difference? They're looking for chivalrous gentlemen who's romantic. So if you go to Mexico, so far from what she's saying, you're still dealing with a woman.
Especially towards the beginning of the relationship. Additionally, once your date is over, you...
Hey, and yes, SW, a nice car definitely helps, right?
You should drive her back to her place. This will show your Mexican girl that you truly care about her. Quick tip. Back in the day, women were randomly kidnapped by horsemen. As a result, men are expected to walk on the side of the street, while women should walk next to the building. Otherwise, people will say, la está vendiendo. She's on sale.
So in Mexico, they say, I don't know, I never asked. I lived in Mexico for about 2 years. In Sydney, I see you lived with a Mexican woman for 12 years. Interesting. Be interesting to hear your experiences on that. If you want to jump on over in YouTube and join in the conversation, love to hear if you'd like to share. If you do, just let me know you're in the chat, and I'll drop a link for you. But she's saying that horsemen used to snatch women up, so that's why men walk on the street side. And if she's now and today walking on the street side, they say she's for sale.
Number two, paga la cuenta del restaurante o los boletos del cine siempre que puedas. Pay for dinner or for the tickets to the movie whenever you can.
So, right, you live in the U.S., you're accustomed to that one. You're responsible for paying for everything. I'm not getting into whether that's good or bad, right or wrong. I'm saying the expectations are not very different so far.
Every couple will reach its own agreement, but towards the beginning of their relationship, most Mexican women will expect their date to pay for dinner, for the tickets to the movies, or for whatever activity they're doing together. Number three. Ábrele la puerta. Open the door for her. No importa qué puerta sea. It doesn't matter which door it is. The point is that you open it for her. Either before she gets off the car, before she goes into the restaurant, before she goes into her apartment or your house. It doesn't matter. Just open the door for her. Secret number two. Details are key. Las mujeres mexicanas adoramos los detalles y las sorpresas. Mexican women just love details, and so you shouldn't wait until Christmas or Valentine's Day to send us flowers. Similarly, no esperes a nuestro cumpleaños para llevarnos serenata. Don't wait until it's our birthday to deliver a serenata. Secret number.
So, buy me gifts, send me flowers, right? You guys have probably heard this before in the U.S., so these are our neighbors. So for you guys who are running over to Mexico and you expect them to be different, and you know, they know why you're coming down into Mexico. So women in other countries know how to put on the face and say they're different from the women that you're accustomed to.
Yeah, Lucia, like you said, them days always, the red pill too far blown, but you be out here trying to put on a facade. Don't show me who you really are. And that way now. Don't be playing with me.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just reporting. I'm just sort of like a reporter, man.
I know what you're saying. I'm talking about these black people. You know what I'm saying? They trying to put on this facade. Don't show me who you really are. You know what I mean?
Well, they might think you won't like them if they show you who they really are. So let's hear what else she has to say. Imperator, good to see you. Hey, that's the good point, right? So women are telling men all the things they're supposed to do on dates, and she's just there to go for the ride, huh? This is the way it's been for a while, and men have accepted this. Right, SW, right, exactly. Same line. What's going on, Imperator?
Decoding implicit.
All right, now. You guys have to listen to this one now. So comedians joke about this one. Number three is decoding implicit meaning. Just comedians rack up on this one in the U.S. Yeah, hey, Sydney, I lived in Mexico for almost two years. So, yes, it is pennies on the dollar. And I meant to say that. So you go to another country, you may be dealing with the same things. It's just costing you pennies on a dollar than what it costs here.
Sometimes Mexican women mean yes when they say no and vice versa. This is especially true when we are upset. Si notas que está molesta, if you feel like she's upset and ask, ¿estás enojada? Are you angry? Chances are she'll respond, no. And then she'll turn away and barely talk to you.
So have we heard this? You ask a woman, are you upset? She says, no. And her body language, and she doesn't want to talk to you. So Mexican women are doing, these are her words. See, I didn't want to be the guy who broke the news to you. I'm letting someone else tell you.
In other words, she'll show you that she is indeed upset. Similarly, she might mention something like, el novio de mi amiga le mandó flores al trabajo.
All right, you gotta listen to this. I'm gonna assume some of you guys may have heard this one before.
My friend got flowers from her boyfriend at work. In this case, she's not only telling you something that happened, she's also implicitly asking you to send her flowers as well. No te preocupes. Don't worry. You will certainly master the art of decoding implicit meaning.
As men in the U.S., we don't have to decode that. We already know. It's almost like there's only one movie script that women get. Just as a quick side, I looked at the country of Sweden, and I did see a difference in Sweden, and that was women expect to go Dutch on dating, even the first date. That's expected. Hey, thanks, Steve-O. I thought that was very interesting. And a college buddy of mine told me he dated a Swedish woman, and she had no problem laying out money. I mean, she was affluent. But Swedish women... And I haven't looked at all, what is it, 192 countries? Hey, Landel, look at that, exactly, right? Competing with their friends, exactly. Same thing when you ask what kind of ring a woman wants. She wants one that's bigger than her friends or her sisters. SW, you said, why is prostitution illegal? All right, so let's go on.
Meaning, especially in terms of time, you'll notice that many Mexican women take very long in getting ready. So if you have booked a restaurant at 8, you better tell her the reservation is at 7. By the way, you'll need this skill to navigate secret 7.
So she's going to be late. You have to tell her the reservations at 7, even though it's at 8. I had a first date with a woman, and she was an attorney. Used to work in corporate law, man. If you can imagine how, like, serious corporate law is. And she was more than an hour late for the first date. Second date, I waited exactly 15 minutes, and I walked. And back then, I didn't have a cell phone. And she had to wait until I got home to call me. And she said, "Why'd you leave?" I said, "You were late." She said, "It was only like 10 minutes. And it was a huge gas station across the street with one of those big digital clocks. I left at what it was, 6:16 or 6:15 on a dot. I just left." And so she was pretty upset. And I never went out with her again. And I said, "I bet you won't be late for a man again." I also asked her, as a corporate lawyer, "Were you ever late for your clients?" And she said, "No." So I'm thinking, so you respect your clients to be on time, and my time is, like, worthless. So I don't play those games. I left the place so that it would be easier for the next guy who came behind me. And maybe that's one of the things guys have to think about. You know, you want to talk about cancel culture, cancel a woman out so that she understands that men are not playing these games and the next guy will have an easier time. Sydney, in Colombia, you say 6 so you can get there at 8, right? Okay. Actually, I don't know. I met with a Colombian woman a couple of weeks ago. She was maybe 4 minutes late, so I guess I was lucky.
As well. More on that in a minute. Secret number 4, showing emotion. In Mexico, la gente es apasionada. Mexican people are passionate. Therefore, your Mexican sweetie will show her emotions constantly. Te va a besar, te va a abrazar, te va a acariciar. She will kiss you, hug you, and caress you, even in public. More importantly, she will expect some feedback or response. So kiss her back, hug her, and caress her as well. If you don't, you might send her the wrong message. Secret number 5, taboos. La religión siempre ha tenido mucha importancia en México. Religion has always been a huge thing in Mexico. Therefore, sex and everything that's related to it. Consequently, if your Mexican girlfriend is still living with her parents, don't expect to sleep in the same room with her. That's a no-go. Por lo menos en la mayoría de las familias. In most families, at least. Things are gradually changing, but in general, that's how they work. Similarly, if you have planned a trip together, don't be surprised if your girlfriend lies to her parents about who she's going with on that trip. Secret number 6, meeting your in-laws. La familia es muy importante en México. Family in Mexico is very important. Therefore, her family might be around a lot. In some cases, sobre todo en provincia, especially in cities other than the capital city, you might...
So, I don't think I'm going to go through all the rest of them. You marry a Latina, you're really not just marrying her. You're marrying her entire family. So, they will expect you. They will expect you to, if the family needs it, if they're not for money, they will expect you to support, to help them financially in some way. So you want to go down into any Latin American country, you need to understand that you are not just marrying her, you're marrying the family. You really are.
Secret number 7, food. Speaking of food, te darás cuenta, you will realize that your Mexican darling will often be indecisive as to which restaurant to visit or what to have for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Okay, how many have heard that one before? That she's indecisive about which restaurant or what she wants to eat. So comedians have a ball with this.
You will probably find yourself giving her a lot of options. In most cases, she will say, lo que tú quieras, whatever you want, or tú escoge.
Right. So how many women in the USA, you ask, where do you want to go out to eat? Yes. Where do you want? Whatever you want. You choose, right? So these are our neighbors.
You choose. Be careful, though. This secret is somewhat related to secret number 3, decoding implicit meanings.
You have to decode this stuff. Hey, so, Sydney, you understand, right, whether it's Colombia, Mexico, I don't care. You're marrying the whole family. You just are. You better understand that.
Because you basically have to learn her likes and dislikes. When she says, lo que tú quieras, or tú escoge, she probably means, let's go to my favorite restaurant, or let's have my favorite dish. And these dishes can be quite weird. If you want to find out what kind of weird food Mexicans eat, check out Polisima's video about 5 popular and weird Mexican dishes. In addition to what I just said, tu chica mexicana probará tu comida. Your Mexican girl will try your food. Before you know it, her fork will be meddling on your plate. Secret number 8, be faithful.
So I lived in Mexico. Mexican men, they marry a woman and still have a family with another woman across town. So that is so common.
Right.
They just do. Hey, thanks, Steve-O. Thanks for joining. Love to smile. So that's very common. And the woman will actually know about it. It'll be a surprise if she doesn't.
Mexican women start a relationship, se comprometen. They commit to it. And they expect you to do so as well. Si no quieres romperle el corazón, if you don't want to break her heart, refrain from talking to your ex and be careful with other girlfriends. Mexican women tend to be very territorial and jealous.
So if you want to date a Latina, they actually believe they have to have this reputation of being very jealous. So if you're not accustomed to that, so when they get upset and it's passionate, it's about something specific. They're not really invalidating in you. They won't tell you you ain't shit and all that. They're just going to be mad that you cheated or you looked at some woman or spoke to some woman. That she said territorial.
Para evitar el drama, to avoid drama, just be honest with her. All right, espero que esta información.
So that's our neighbor, Mexico. Viva la Mexico. So let's look at another country. What do they say in another country? Let's pull out another one. Let's get something sort of uncommon here. Let's take you on the other side of the world, and let's see if women are different. If we get much further. So we just did Mexico. Those are our neighbors. So let's see what happens when we go on the other side of the world. Let's look at women in China.
What do you like?
He just asked this woman, what do you like? Guys from Guyana. Well, he's Ghana. The name, but he just asked the Chinese woman, what do you like? She gave one word, quick answer, easy. She likes money. That was easy. That's in China. So you guys have probably heard that right here in the right here in America. This here America, land of the free and materialism. And so either Mexico caught something from us and they're doing the same things, or maybe it doesn't matter where the woman lives. So let's look at what goes down in China. So this woman is going to literally just go on the street and ask women questions. And let's hear what happens. Now you're going to have to, I guess you guys on Instagram can't see it. She's going to go on the street and ask some women questions about what they want from a man, from a boyfriend.
我想问你们个问题啊，就是你们对男朋友有什么要求呢？
She just asked, what are your requirements for a boyfriend? And the answers are, you guys probably never heard these answers before. He has to be handsome, tall, and considerate. And also someone who is not straightforward. So these women would hate straight talk. So this is what they said.
长得帅，长得高，长得高，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，谢谢，
they say this man also shouldn't be a chauvinist, so which means, and so she asks, so your choice only depends on appearance.
Yeah. 就只是外貌嘛,就身份不只是,是吧?
They respond, but male chauvinist is not appearance, but personality. So what if, and so now she's going to ask, what if he has... What if he has money, house, and a car?
外貌跟性格，那如果就是钱方面，比如说他有钱，有房，有车，然后就这些，你们会就是在意吗？ 就他有。
And so now she wants to know, do you mind or care about that? Can he be a chauvinist if he has money, house, and a car? It has different conditions. A and SW, thank you for the super chat, man. Thank you, big thank you for that, man. Always love your support. Thank you.
我没有这个钱。对，这个没钱分好几种嘛，就是有的是他可能是在。
They say, for example, he might not have money right now, but.
但没有，但是他特别有。
But he has the potential, and I believe money will come in the future. So, still looking at him as whether or not he's going to have money. Look, man, this is what we're attempting to establish whether or not women are very different elsewhere.
有能力啊，什么的都会有的，这样的也可以。就是看对方年龄不是那么对，那可是你们父母，比如说要结婚，然后。
And then she asks, "How about your parents? Will they accept the guy without a car, house, and money?"
看到这些男孩子没有车没有房，然后这样父母会觉得。
And one woman says they are more concerned about ability because they believe that she has the ability.
有没有能力？嗯，是。
Then you're gonna make, you're going to earn money in the future.
对，有能力的话，他肯定以后也会就是家庭有，都会有的。嗯，好，谢谢你们。你们喜欢什么样的男孩？
Hey, Sean Hensley, thank you for the super chat, man. Thank you, thank you. Yeah. Oh wait, SW, you said this is for the last show. Interesting and fantastic presentation. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. So this woman is asking, which kind of guys do you like? Start first Oh, that she said, she tells her that you
can. 你说你来，这个男朋友他说，啊，你来，做好了吧，对你好的。
So here's their answer. Someone who cares for me and also handsome, and she asks also handsome, not too handsome.
长得帅的，还是永远的，对，还行，能看得过去啊，对。对，就是会考虑他有方。
And so. And this woman's interesting who's doing the interviewing. She's now asking, the woman said, well, someone who cares for me. So now she's asking, would you care if he doesn't have a car or his standard of living is not good? So they're saying they want a guy who cares. He's not chauvinistic. Well, what about whether he his material possessions?
家里，就是什么条件那些，就是会不会考虑因素吧？但是，Hey,
SW said virgins, maybe not, because look at these responses. She asked, what if he doesn't have a car, a good standard of living? And she says that is necessary, but not important, because these things are like seasons. Interesting response.
不会看很重，不会看很重，因为这个东西，我觉得是要分时。
And everyone's season might. Come someday, it's just step by step, he might make it someday. So, potential. These women want a man with, they accept a man with potential. They probably won't get pregnant by him.
对的，如果是说刚刚进入社会，头几年这种东西没有是非常正常的，但是这个东西我觉得最后总会有的，这个得看他上不上进啊什么的，这个。那如果
So the other woman goes on to say it depends on what motivates him because it's not okay if he doesn't want to earn money forever. Oh, it's okay if he doesn't want to earn money forever. Right, right. So she's saying it depends on what motivates him because it's not okay if he doesn't want to earn money forever. So he can't just be some guy without material possessions, without a good standard of living. Hey, see, Lando, but see, what you just said is they're actually confirming. They're confirming it, Lando.
我一辈子就觉得没有就无所谓了，那肯定是不行的。对，那如果说是你们，比如说现在你说没钱没问题。Good,
she's kind of holding them to the fire. She said, if you're saying it's okay if he doesn't have money,
可是父母的话,
how about your parents? Will they allow you to marry him?
他会担心，会想到没钱，没有车，这样，还会让你跟他结婚吗？就考虑到以后这样。我觉得我们看上的，到了结婚，等如果是真的已经到了那个地步了，肯定。
If we like each other, then he has to get everything before we get married.
该有的什么就都有了。啊，我是这么认为的，是吧？我妈可能会考虑一些，但是如果真的对我。
And the other woman says her mom is going to think about it, and if the guy really cares, then she'll respect her choice.
她也会让步，对，就比较尊重你的意见。对，是比较明智的。谢谢。嗯，你对男朋友有什么要求呀？
All right, she found another couple of women. Question, which kind of guys do you want to date? And one woman says he has to be tall and understanding. Even in China, they want them to be tall. Hey, Lando, depending on the love, but so we're looking to establish what are the factors that women need to actually have love for a man. And we're seeing things like he has to be tall and understanding.
对，当然要长得高，还有就是两个人聊得来，有话题。
对。
So the interviewer is asking. She's just literally walking up to women on the street. Do you care about money, cars, and a house? Of course, they respond, of course he needs to have these things. And these properties should have the same level as mine. So you, and she asked, so you mean both of you must have the same background? She says yes.
你们的那个家庭背景差不多的，对，不要他的钱超过我很多。
Now she responded and said his money shouldn't be more than mine, and neither my own, but he should have a good standard of living.
就我的钱超过他很多，这个。哦，对，但是一定要有一定的物质基础，是这样。然后父母肯定也是这样想的吧？嗯，父母也这样想的。So
she asked another question, the same way, right? Otherwise, she won't allow you to get married. She says, yes, what do you think? I think temporarily, he's not rich, but he must have the potential, right? So we're hearing potential a lot. So in China, women are okay with potential, but these are young women, so they're probably in their, still in their 20s. And in China, there's a word called shen nu, which means leftover. So if a woman is 28, 29, and she's never been married and she's not engaged, she's a leftover. Absolutely. She says he shouldn't lose hope, but rather have the desire and motivation to make life better. So she's interviewing another woman. This might be, I think this is the last one. And she just walks up to her. Can I ask you a question? What kind of guys do you like? There seems to be a common theme. Now, I don't know if women in China all claim to be unique and different from other women, but there is this common theme. You know, he must care and be kind and that. So she said, first, the one who cares for me, and someone who put more effort to achieve and set goals. So this woman asked, do you require him to have money, house, or a car? And she says, of course. That's a must. I don't know, SW. Hey, Lando, I met a woman in Mexico who was married, and she told me, she's a gorgeous woman. I met her in the gym, nice body, very nice body. And she had something going on in the back there. So she wasn't what you would think is a typical Mexican woman. She had a butt on her. And she told me that she wanted to marry a rich man, and she was 27 at the time. And she said she needed to do it before she started to gain weight, because she figured she would gain weight eventually. And she said she didn't have to love the guy. She just wanted to marry a rich man. She said she would eventually learn to love him. She said, I know that I can do that because that's what my mother did. She married a rich guy and learned to love him later.
That's crazy.
Hey, that's what she said to me. And that was before she ended up in my bed. Imagine that.
Like I said,
So, now, don't want to take you guys in too many different directions. I was just responding to you, Lando. So this woman continues with this interview, and a woman says, she's interviewing, says, if he doesn't have those things like house, car, money, how can we enjoy life? Life is going to be hard for us.
哇，将来怎么生活啊？难道真的是两个人去艰辛的那个？对啊。
She said maybe we're going to sleep on the streets.
对，所以房子车技还是蛮重要。
Which means the house and car are very important, says the interviewer asked.
不要的，嗯，好吧，那你的父母他们肯定也是会想。
Then she asked him, which means your parents also want you to date a rich guy, right?
也就是说，自己的女儿要嫁一个有钱一点的，嗯，能够对吧？对，能够给我一个好的生活，不然。
And she says someone who will give me a better life, or else her parents. Oh, and then if he can give her a better life, her parents will not resist the guy.
他们也不放心啊，是啊，有道理。好吧，谢谢你啊，好，不用。
Trying to do one on Brazil.
The Dream Girl. Mm.
But I want to show you guys this presentation about the high price of materialism. And he's going to say some interesting things in this video about materialism, which is going to shine lights on some things. Hey, Sean Hensley, you're right. Marion for Love is new. It's only about 150 years. This guy named John Keats wrote a book in 17, I think. It was like La Femme Dame. It was one of the first novels. And when he wrote it in 1817, no one really paid attention to it. But by 1850s, his book caught on. It stuck. It started to shape the culture in the U.S. And it was this whole thing about romance and people falling in love and gifts and all this stuff. Before that, people got married, mostly arranged or semi-arranged, and they married to raise a family, build a legacy, and they married someone that could support them being better off than the last generation. So maybe if my family had 50 acres and they found me a spouse with another family that had 50, now we had 100 acres, and then we would marry our children to someone who had cattle. And so now we had 100 acres and a bunch of cattle. And so then you are building legacies and building wealth over generations. And that's how it went down. Once this guy put this love story out, it really changed things. And as we got into the 20th century, for the first time, people start wanting to choose their own spouse, but it was for love. And then in the 1920s, De Beers says diamonds are a girl's best friend. And here we are. So we become more materialistic. So I want to show you this presentation about materialism. Let's see. What the hell happened to that?
Every day, Americans are bombarded with hundreds of messages suggesting that the good life is attainable through the goods life by making lots of money and spending it on products that claim to make us happy, loved, and esteemed. On the news shows, we hear a near constant refrain from economists and politicians about the importance of consumer spending and economic growth. and around $150 billion are spent most years to embed consumer messages in every conceivable space, from TV shows and websites to public bathrooms and escalator handrails. Lately, marketers have even been paying actors to drop sales pitches into conversations in bars and city parks. But commercialization and consumerism also reach deeper, worming their way into people's psyches and encouraging them to organize their lives around higher salaries and owning more stuff. Unfortunately, this can come at a high price for the well-being of both people and the planet. Research consistently shows that the more that people value materialistic aspirations and goals, the lower their happiness and life satisfaction, and the fewer pleasant emotions they experience day to day. Depression, anxiety, and substance abuse also tend to be higher among people who value the aims encouraged by consumer society. Strong materialistic values also influence our social relationships and thereby affect other people's well-being. Scientists have found that materialistic values and pro-social values are like a seesaw. As materialistic values go up, pro-social values tend to go down. This helps explain why people act in less empathic, generous, and cooperative ways when money is on their minds. When people are under the sway of materialism, they also focus less on caring for the earth. The same type of seesaw is at work here. As materialistic values go up, concern for nature tends to go down. Studies show that when people strongly endorse money, image, and status, they are less likely to engage in ecologically beneficial activities like riding bikes, recycling, and reusing things in new ways. Clearly, if we hope to have a happier, more socially just, and more ecologically sustainable world, then we need to develop ways to diminish the power of materialistic values in our personal lives and in society. Two basic principles for change can help frame the way forward. First, we need to understand what causes people to prioritize materialistic values. For instance, studies show that people focus more on material things when they feel insecure.
Okay. You guys hear that? He said, hey, thanks, Steve-O. Happy Easter to you, too. Did you guys catch what he just said? Listen to this.
Insecure. So instead of buying material things when they feel insecure, people focus more than studies show the people values. For instance, studies show that people focus more on material things when they feel insecure.
People focus more on material things when they feel insecure. So look, I like fine things. I like eating in nice restaurants. I like driving fast cars. I like, you know, I like living in a nice place. I like all those things. But when you hear women in relationships who are focused more on material things, especially here in the U.S., this is something he just said. Studies show that when people focus more on material things, can you pay my bills? And a lot of times these are women who don't even need these things. Well, maybe they do because they have poor spending habits. They have poor money management. They're feeling insecure about something. And so if a woman has nothing to offer aside from a vagina, she may feel very insecure and may use that as a bargaining chip. And it also becomes a distraction because she's got nothing else to offer. So if she gets you focused in chasing things so she can have material stuff, you never figure out that the only thing she's offering is a vagina. Well, you know, for that, you're really going to have to be clear about who you meet. And yeah, like I said, you're gonna have to use your network for that, man. You really are. They're out there. But what I'm saying is they are out there. They just don't walk around with a sign on them. You have to use your network for that.
And studies show that people focus more on material things.
Hold on, man.
For instance, studies show that people focus more on material things when they feel insecure.
Like, you got to get that. Women who are focusing a lot on material things really are being insecure. They're hiding behind that. And it's almost like a reverse psychology trying to make you feel inadequate.
So instead of buying a new handbag or power tool the next time you've had a blow to your self-esteem, consider a different coping strategy, like spending time with friends or taking a walk outside.
You know, dating used to be about that, taking a walk outside, because it was about getting to know one another to see if you were actually compatible. So if you think about that, if you take these two things, that focusing on material things, studies show that it's a sign that you're insecure. And dating used to actually be about getting to know one another. So no material things, no dinners, going for a walk in a park, could be a picnic, but you were just, it was all about getting to know who that person is. If that woman has nothing to offer, the last thing she wants to do is go for a walk, because she's now going to get exposed. So if she makes it about material things, you're jumping through all the hoops and you never figure out that there's nothing there. That becomes like a trap.
Scientists also know that the more that people are exposed to the media, the more they prioritize materialistic values. A couple of ways to diminish the onslaught of consumer messages are to use ad block to hide ads on the internet, or to hit mute when commercials play on TV. But these steps can only take us so far. We also need to get active and start to remove advertising from public spaces and from our children's schools so that people aren't exposed to materialistic messages so often.
Yeah, see, when women start talking that, if a woman ever tells me she gets bored easily, what I say to her is, you must be a very boring person, because I can spend time alone by myself at home with no one around and I never get bored. The reason I don't get bored is because I'm there. I never get bored with myself. When a woman tells me she gets bored, then she's a boring person and she's looking for me to serve as a distraction from her own boring ass. And if we go for a walk just to talk, she's terrified I'm going to find out how boring she is. So that reverse psychology thing again, man. Hey, thanks, Imperator. Yeah, drinking dates. Yeah, man. See, if you have to get drunk to be able to talk to me, that's a problem. Or get buzzed or to loosen up. No question. Well, a lot of them are incompetent when it comes to relationships. So, and there are a lot of women who have kids because they're terrified of being alone. See, that insecurity thing comes up. So they have kids just so they won't be alone.
The second principle for change involves promoting intrinsic values for growing as a person, being close to one's family and friends, and improving the broader world. The research shows that intrinsic values not only promote personal, social, and ecological well-being, but can also act to immunize people against materialism. It's that seesaw again. As intrinsic values go up, materialistic values tend to go down. So part of the trick is to build a life that expresses your intrinsic values. That might involve spending more time with people you care about, finding meaningful work, even if it pays less, and taking part in volunteer opportunities for causes you care about.
So the one thing that he's not saying, this is a really big, important reason for men developing themselves. So you develop yourself, then you actually have a value to offer to another person. You've got this. This is beyond awareness and introspection. This is shedding things that don't work, right? we all have blind spots and saboteur behavior. However, as you develop yourself and you get rid of those things and you expose yourself to other things and different people, you have much more value and a wider range of perspectives to see the world and solve problems. See, if women are not doing that, if all they're doing is gravitating to material things, you know, just looking for the guy to buy the next purse, she's just drilling deeper down into this world of insecurity because she has no value. And that's why we hear women saying, I know my worth. And when you ask, well, what is your worth? They can't answer it. Or their worth is predicated to you giving them something material, and studies show that those are signs of insecurity. But it's really a way for them to hide the insecurity and have you jumping through hoops. So, yes, your work can help, volunteering, but really developing yourself and traveling. So I'm all for traveling and living in other countries. No question, I've done it. And it helps you see other things, other ways of thinking, other ways of doing things. And that makes you very, very valuable to yourself, to your friends and family, to your lover, to your work. And, you know, there are people who just travel just to sit on the beach. That's really not exploring. You sit on a beach and drink pina coladas or whatever the hell they drink. That's not going to support your personal development very well.
But again, changing our lifestyles is not enough. We also need to advocate for policies that promote intrinsic values. For example, countries like France and Bhutan have recognized that they can't only focus on GDP and other measures of economic growth. Now they are starting to regularly assess citizens' well-being and sense of connection to their communities so as to develop policies that truly encourage these intrinsic values.
See, these are also values that men need to start demanding in dating and getting to know a woman. It's not about taking someone out just to have this exciting time because she may be boring as hell. And this is how a lot of guys get trapped. They do all these exciting, expensive and exotic dates and then marry the woman because they had such a great time. And now you're at home every day and find out that she's boring as hell. And if you don't keep churning out that excitement and material things and gifts and things that get that dopamine rush, and she's kind of become a junkie to dopamine. You may find that she cheats on you because you're not providing any more excitement. So cheating becomes an excitement in a new dopamine rush that still gets back to this whole sense of insecurity. Yeah, man, it looks like it, SW. A lot of them are doing and saying the same things. I don't know how many could I get pregnant in a week? I don't know, and I never tried that. Okay. Got you. Let me bring you in here. Eight-seven-zero, you're on the line. You hear me? Loud and clear?
Right here, T.
All right, cool. Good. All right. So let's see a little bit more here.
Similar efforts are underway in some parts of the United States, but they need more support. The grip that consumerism and commercialism have on our world can seem inescapable, and there are certainly powerful forces that push materialistic values on us. But by making changes in our personal lives and by working for broader societal changes, we can break the hold of materialism and be freer to live our intrinsic values. That, in turn, would help us to take important steps toward greater personal well-being, a more humane society, and a more sustainable world.
these are things that men can demand from women just in everyday life. Men can really change society. A lot of guys are following women. And when you let a woman lead you down a path of believing you have to, your whole value to her is what you can buy her, the purse, the dopamine rush, the exotic trips. And there's nothing happening. The real relationship of people becoming better because of one another is completely missing. And that's usually a relationship that's already crashed. Just neither person realizes it. Yeah, I know. I know dudes have had, their wives have had abortions. And how many, well, you know, you also have to look at how many women had the child because she thought the guy had better genetics than her husband. So, yes, these things definitely happen. No question. I saw an interesting video from a woman. So this is a woman in the U.S. So we looked at women in other countries. Let's see. What did I do?
Hi, guys. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll show you a short one for a Brazilian woman. Let's take a look at that one. ASW, there used to be a time a man could legally spank his wife. So here's a Brazilian woman.
Are here from IdaAdvice.com. When your interests are in pure Brazilian beauty, you must learn how to date Brazilian women. Navigating the Brazilian dating scene requires some knowledge and know-how. The women are wired differently, which is part of the Brazilian culture. First, I must...
So she just said Brazilian women are wired differently. So we just watched the Mexican woman, we watched Chinese women, and now we're going to see a Brazilian woman who just out the gate said Brazilian women are different. They're wired differently. Oh, let's hear it.
I'll tell you that you are in for a wild ride if you date a woman from Brazil, so buckle up. The women are very outgoing and always up for an adventure, so dinner and the movie aren't going to cut it. Skip the flowers and take her to a club to dance the night away. Along with it being a great idea, the night scene is recommended for finding dates. To help seal the deal, look your best before hitting the clubs. Don't hesitate to go after what you want once you're there and have fun with your approach. Once you get a date, put your focus on converting that date into something more long-term. Start by keeping conversation engaging and be confident. Brazilian women are very high energy, so if you bore her, she'll be gone before you even know it. Ask about her ambitions. Maintain a friendly attitude and make a move early in the date. Yes, you heard right. Going in for a kiss after talking for a while is definitely a do.
I can tell you women, you got to make that move early. You heard that. Don't wait. Don't wait for the end of the night. Make that move early. Imperator, that's a good word. Entitled, worldwide. This is your job as a man. This is advice from women about how to deal with women.
If a Brazilian girl seems receptive and has gotten touchy-feely with you, just kiss her. Also, pay for all the food and the drink. Who doesn't like a gentleman?
If you're going to be known as a gentleman, you make sure you pay for everything, right? And so she said out the gate, Brazilian women are different.
Okay, so by now, you have probably come to the conclusion that Brazilian women like masculine men who can handle their energy. They want...
Have you guys heard that? Masculine men who can handle them. You know, gentlemen.
Someone confident and self-assured. One way exuding that masculinity will pay off is intimacy. Brazilian women are very comfortable with sex and their sexuality, and if you two hit it off, you may have sex on the first date or after a few dates.
Sound different so far? Hey, Exotic Sugar Bear, yes, Blog Talk is open. You want to call in, the phone number is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. It's open.
You're like an aggressive man, but when it comes to the sex, you want to go with the flow. Respect is huge in Brazil. Lastly, despite Brazilian girls being hot and fun, they have sex. Therefore, you must be on the same page in terms of values to keep her. The ideal partner is one who cherishes family, knows how to win down and appreciate life, as well as one who is chivalrous. Religion is...
chivalry. Even in Brazil, they want chivalry. Chivalry. Chivalry is alive and well. This video was made in 2016.
Also huge. You don't have to share her Catholic views, but you must respect the religion. I hope this information helps you to win the heart of the Brazilian woman of your dreams. Good luck, and remember that a combination of confidence and kindness is the key. Feel free to comment.
Brazilian women are different from other women based on her speech there. So we went to China, we went to Brazil. Where else did we go? We went to a couple of countries. China, Brazil, Mexico is the other place we looked at. So, you know, we could go through 190 countries, and maybe we'll find the same. But so let's get a woman's perspective on the U.S. Let's get, and well, I won't say anything. This is a woman's perspective, not mine. Very raw, though. This is going to be raw.
Hey, what's up, YouTube family? It's your girl, KB Flawless, back at it with another video. You know, I was just thinking about women. I'm always thinking about these bitches. Because there's always something new with these bitches, man. I can't keep up with them. But anyways, this is going to be a long video, right? So...
going on, Silent Lamont. We're exploring to see if women are different somewhere in the world. That's what we're talking about. Are women the same around the world, or are they different? We looked at Brazil, China, and Mexico. Now we're coming to the good old USA. We're going to hear a woman's perspective about women. So what does she say? Maybe she'll say something different.
I just want to know, why do women think that they should be taken care of by men? They expect men to do every fucking thing for them. You should just ask a man to wipe your ass for you, because you literally want him to pay for everything. What can he do for me? Is he going to spend his last on me? Is he going to buy me the new Louis bag? Is he going to buy me the new Gucci bag? Fix my hand. My shit's all fucked up. All these bitches care about is materialistic shit. And it...
oh, now this is a woman thing. Wow. These are not my thoughts. I didn't say it. I didn't ask her to make this video. She did this September of last year, 2020. Whew. So this is a woman saying she sees this. This is not, so I don't want anyone to think that I'm bashing. I'm not bashing women. I'm just getting perspectives.
It just gets sickening after a while, to be honest. It's like, damn, do you even care about how this man feels? Do you ever take his feelings into consideration?
SW, when she first came on, I said, that's a stud. That was the first thing. I was waiting for her to start talking like that, you know. But anyway, let's see what else she says.
Have you ever thought that maybe he doesn't want to spend his money on you? And why do you think he needs to spend his money on you? Why should he spend his money on you? Why are women so materialistic? I'll never understand it. All they care about is materialistic things. Now, don't get me wrong. Not all women. You know, some women really want to be with a man who respects them, cares about them, and they want to respect them and care about them as well. Like, there's some really good women out there, all right? I'm one of them. Shout out to all the good women on this planet, because I feel like we get overlooked, because these hoes, these gold-digging hoes, these WAP hoes. Wow. These bitches out here, man, you know, they're just making the good men not even want to be good men anymore, I swear. They're just making men not want to take them out on dates, because you know why? That bitch is going to go right on YouTube and post a video of you buying her a meal, and then she's going to say she finessed you. You know, as a man, that would make me feel some type of way, like, damn, I just took her out on a date, and now she's posting it talking about she finessed me? How? I was being a gentleman. I was being kind. I spent my hard-earned money on your ass, bitch. Like, yo, like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, do women take that into consideration, how that'll make a man feel? No, because they want attention. People are just too hungry for attention. I'll never understand why people are so hungry for attention. Man, listen, I'm content with not receiving, you know, a lot of attention. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't even want all that attention. Like, not all attention is good attention. Don't get me wrong now. Yeah, of course, it's nice to know that the man's checking me out. You know, hey, take a poop. Yeah, I like that. But at the same time, it's like I said, not all attention is good attention. And I do not want all these men talking to me and wanting me and lusting after me. No, hell no. That's just scary. But, you know, everybody's different. Some women want that attention. They crave that attention. They need that attention to feel confident, to feel like they're somebody. But, you know, women are just disgusting in this generation, if you ask me. They're materialistic, egotistical, narcissistic, gold-digging, money-hungry hoes. Like, for real. They're Jezebels. Like,
damn. I mean, like you guys, my first impression was stud, and man, she's coming with, I said this is going to be really raw, and she's raw. I mean, she just laid that out. This is a woman saying it, so this is not my thought. I just looked around, searched around so I could hear different perspectives, and this is her perspective about women. Now, you know, looking at her, you might think that she's dated probably some women herself, so she might have some, she might have sat in the front row on this and have her own experience. And I actually know women who are bisexual and have had that kind, you know, the experience that she's talking about. Yep, exactly. Yep, SW, women don't like to hear no. And this is the thing that men need to use much more often. No.
I don't know, man. This world's going to a fucking end. Women acting like men. Women acting like hoes. Women want to be accepted as hoes, and they want to be treated like wives. Like, I don't understand these women at all, man. This is why I just be in my little bubble. You know what I mean? She's saying to myself, man, and I observe. I look at what people do. I look at what people say. Or I listen to what people say, excuse me, and I just go based off on that. Like, because people are just too much in this generation. You got to protect your energy. You got to be careful about who you associate with, you know, because people are sick in the head. And men should be careful of these women, because a lot of these women are just hungry for your money. I'm telling you, not all, like I said. And if you find that woman who, like, genuinely loves you for who you are and shows you that she does not want your money, shows you that she cares about you and wants you for who you are, respect her, love her, treat her good, because those women are hard to come by, man. A lot of these women just want to know what you can do for them. They don't care about the pain you're feeling. They don't care about if your pockets are hurting. They don't care about if you can't sleep at night because you're dealing with some type of trauma. Like, men need to pick their women more wisely, too. Stop thinking with their dicks and start thinking with their heads. For real. But that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. But listen, guys, I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all are the best. For real. I hope everybody is doing well.
That was the U.S. A lot more direct and straightforward. Nothing held back. That's what when that she laid it out. She said that's what women are like here. Not me, not you. Problem is both those women look nice. Exactly. I told you, you said she wants to be chained up. She wants to be submissive. There are a lot of women who are dominant who want a man that they can never dominate. They're, yeah. Hey, Victorino, she said it like, man, like clear. There was like no censorship on her. Solipsism. Yeah, that's what I hear. A lot of women practice that. There may be also a lot of women who have been traumatized too often, and emotional trauma comes from being raised in a single-parent home. And so there may be a lot of women suffering from something called hybristophilia, and hybristophilia is when you are sexually aroused and can easily climax when you're attracted to drug dealers, rapists, murderers, men who cheat, thieves, men who lie often. So there are a lot of women who seem to be more attracted to that, and it hybristophilia is really a mental disorder. And there are a lot of women walking around undiagnosed with that. And they're raising children. They're getting into relationships. Men don't know how to assess and recognize those women. So, you know, even if they do the, you know, the happy face and they smile in your face, you've got to be able to get underneath that. And that's why I was saying there are a lot of women who don't want to go for that walk in the park, because you're going to get to know her and find out who she really is. So there are women literally, you know, they may have college degrees and masters and PhDs, and they still could be suffering from that. You know, they can only have relationships with married men until they run out, and they can't have, you know, her value that the man wanted her for was her youth. He used it up. Now she's in her 40s and no one wants her. Hybristophilia. Let's see if I can tell me if you can see it. You see that, Victorino? I just spelled it.
You're welcome. Well, see, that's why we're saying, Country Boy, you're right. So in one hand, yes, they could be taught that. They could be taught that by their mother, who dated, you know, thugs. But also, too much emotional trauma can create mental disorders for a person. So imagine a woman grows up in a single-parent household. That's emotional trauma right there. The mother's dating some dude who has sex, molests the children. Now she gets damaged again, right? The mother could be frustrated or not great communication skills, physically abusive, verbally abusive. That's a lot for a child to grow up in. And so they won't get that same they won't have an affinity for a guy who's, you know, they'll say, he's a nice guy. He's too good for me. And she's right. Guys should be, listen to a woman when she says that you're too good for me. She's not lying to you. Interesting, John. Men can't love empty women, huh? Huh. Yeah, women's brains are, see, they talk all this, women are stronger than men. They really are not, because women make up these stories. They are 3.5 times more likely to attempt suicide. So women don't handle things as well as men do. They just don't. They can see, they've been feeding us stuff about how women are mentally stronger than men. No, they're not. You say hello to a woman and she freaks out. What do you mean? You're just trying to fuck me. That's all, you know, all you said was hello. So they've already proved this through, like, empirical evidence, through neural imaging, tens of thousands of people, men and women. And women make up stories and they worry about things. They have way more anxiety, way more depression than men. And if you're experiencing more anxiety, you are not the stronger gender.
T.
Yes.
I'm under impression, and I believe a lot of gentlemen are as well, that it's something about this current, the current mind of these American women out here that they're trying to flee from and get back to a natural, more feminine, submissive woman traveling abroad. That's the conclusion that I'm coming to. It's something about a lot of these American women.
Hold on, Kendrick. You're saying the men want to, or the women want to become more feminine?
The men looking for more feminine, submissive women.
Okay.
And they not getting it here.
Right.
And I'm under the impression that they traveling, seeking it, wish they not getting here in the States, if I'm making any sense.
Right. The feminists condemned women for being feminine. They shamed them for that. They shamed them for being a stay-at-home mother who takes care of her children and her family. So women were tricked out of their femininity.
I don't know, like you said, it's a little deeper than hypertrophic failure, Ted.
Okay.
Thing going real deep, because like I said, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit better than me, but 70, 80 years plus years ago, that type of mindset didn't even exist, Ted.
How many years ago?
A good 70 plus 80 years ago, that mind did not exist.
That's inaccurate.
Usually women run away from dangerous dudes, don't they? They ain't get turned on by no dangerous man back there. That's crazy.
Women loved Al Capone. He's a gangster. They liked Babyface Nelson. They liked John Dillinger. It wasn't as many as now, but there were plenty of women who liked those gangsters back then, the mafia. Plenty of women liked the mafia.
Okay, what about the Lord, I'm missing this man's name. Gaddafi, now those type, that man, he was ruthless. He'll cut your head off. That's the type that dude was. And you tell me they was attracted to that man too, or were they just naturally fitted of that man?
Yeah, women were, you better believe Gaddafi had access to women, for sure.
Him and that Pablo Escobar man, them type of dudes, but for some odd reason, them women constantly flock to those type kids.
All right, so this has happened before then. This is not new.
You know what I'm saying? It's like something repeating. You know what I'm saying? Because in particular for the millennials, we're not accustomed to this.
Sure,
you know
they
what
are.
I mean?
Look, Al Capone is way before millennials were born, and women like guys like that. This is not new.
What I'm getting at is they didn't have no internet, they didn't have feminism, they ain't have none of that BS that we got going on now. Back then, Ted, that man would slap that woman across the room,
and
she got somewhere and shut up. And wasn't nothing did about it, Ted. Now, if you was to do a woman like that now, they'll lock you up. But Al Capone and all those types you mentioned, they got away with it back in their day. Them men ran things back there.
Okay.
You see how flippy-flop this thing is now? This thing turned inside out now.
So part of it may be this. Thanks for the super chat, Sean. I think women are trying to lead from behind and are frustrated that we're not running ahead of them in the direction they have headed. So no question, they're leading from behind. Actually, whether you say leading from behind or leading from the bottom, right? So you're having sex and the man is on top. It seems like he's the one in control in the power position because he's on top. But women are on the bottom and still leading men, and men are following and going with it. But what I think also, Sean, is women are resenting men for following them, for allowing them to lead. Women resent that. So they're acting crazier, and men are not checking them. Just listen to how many women say, oh, they want men to be more masculine or more manly like they used to be, like their fathers and grandfathers or great-grandfathers.
But the women are messed up. They not being feminine and submissive like they used to be. These ain't our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers. You know what I'm saying, Ted?
What's going on, Chris? Thanks for joining. All right, I'm going to give you that, Victorino. So, but this is the problem. Men are accepting this behavior, and they still reward them. They still take them out. They still follow them. They still just look at the women say things, and then men repeat it. Before, women were trying to say things that men said. They were trying to mimic men. Now men are mimicking women. They resent that. You hear women say men are emotional like women, and they reverse the roles, and men allow that to happen. But there are countries where they didn't allow it to happen.
I say, Ted, it's just this society we live in. Because there was a time, like I say, I can't speak for all men, but it was a time, Ted, When that man spoke in the household, everybody in the house listened to that man's authority. Now what's going on? It's a freak show out here.
It still happens like that. I was saying early on, I dated a woman from Morocco, and she had hell. She could barely speak English. And she visited her cousin here in New York, and her cousin had two young sons, like 9 and 7. and his 9-year-old said something smart to the woman I was dating. Father, this was at the dinner table. Father reached across the table and smacked him in his mouth, and he said, "You live in a Moroccan house, and you do things the Moroccan way, and you never talk to an adult like that." He said, "And if you don't like it, you go to school and you report me, and you have them come arrest me, and you'll be out of this house." He said, "Well, you live in my house, you do things my way, and you do things the Moroccan way." And this was 2001. So
can you imagine coming up in the 90s, Ted, with that same upbringing that I dealt with? You didn't talk back to grown folk in a house where folk paying the bill. You got the hell knocked out you as a child. You did what grown folk told you to do. You know what I'm saying?
Did you hear what I just said? In 2001, this guy is in the United States, and this is the way he raises his children, his 9-year-old. His 9-year-old was born in the 90s, because this was 2001. This is what I'm trying to say to you. In the United States, there are men who don't care about the laws. They raise their family the way they raise them.
But like you're saying, it's still not a majority of men that's doing it. What we're seeing is household led by women.
Well, that's because
you know what I'm saying?
Women only do this. You got to hear what I'm saying. Women are leading from the bottom. So someone asked me, what do I mean by that? So here's how women lead from the bottom. Women will say, "Yes, honey, you're in charge. You're head of house." And women will have conversations with other women that say, "Let him think he's leading." Well, what women will do is criticize your decisions. They'll question you. They'll argue with you. And they'll get you to go into another direction, and men will do it. Instead of standing firm and saying, "No, this is I put my foot down, this is the final, I'm making the final choice, and this is what we're doing," men back down. But women will say, "Yes, you go ahead," and then they'll say, "Well, what about this, or I don't like that." It's almost like, hell, I put that woman up from Mexico, and she said, "Ask a woman where she wants to eat." And she says, the woman says, "You choose. Out of whatever you choose, I'm fine with it. I'll eat whatever you like." Well, really, she's going to leave the man to where she wants to eat, except she told him up front, "You lead, your choice." And so when he names a place, she'll say, "No, I don't like that. I'm not in the mood for that." Instead of her saying exactly what she wants. So there are a lot of women, a lot, who will tell men, "You're in charge, you're leading." And really, the woman works out a way to lead. She'll withhold sex if you don't do what she wants to do. But I hear stories of guys born and raised in the States. They are from here for generations, military guys. And when they come home at 6, their wife has that food on its dinner table piping hot at 6, not 6:01, not 6:05. There are guys who run their house that way. And their wives have no problem complying with that. If she's complaining, he doesn't care because she's doing exactly what he wants done, and he's running his house.
And that's what I'm telling you, Ted. That's how I grew up. My old man, he ex-military. He was a veteran from the Vietnamese War back in the late 60s. So that order that you're talking about in the house, that order been in this household since I was old enough to remember, Ted. And we never deviate from it. That old lady, she gone there. Rest her soul, but it's the same, it's that same order and structure passed on to all the kids that come through here.
I got it. Well, a lot of guys are backing down. So, Silent Lamont, you say men are backing down. So, see, the problem happens when you're dating the woman. See, if you enforce this up front and hold your ground with that woman,
and tell her if she doesn't like it, she can walk and you're okay. You don't have to say I'm okay with it. Just you can walk. See, guys need to do this while you're dating. You need to be doing this stuff up front. Because if you wait until you get married and think now you're going to all of a sudden, you need to establish this. And either she's going to deal with it and you're like, look, I'm not. And you guys got to get, if she wants marriage, marriage is a prenuptial agreement. So when you speak to a woman and say, I want you to sign a prenuptial agreement, and if she starts talking about, well, you don't trust me, you don't love me, then you can say, look, marriage is a prenuptial agreement, because if you trusted and loved me, you would never look for marriage. You would let us just ride the way we are. But marriage is a prenuptial agreement. It's a legal binding contract sanctioned by the government. So men need to start enforcing stuff way before marriage. If you better be thinking about children and a legacy that you're going to leave behind so that legally these children inherit what's yours. Otherwise, why are you getting married? But if you're not enforcing this stuff up front, hey, I'm sorry, Silent Lamont, they do. And if they don't like it, let them walk. But so as a guy, one of the things, so this is why I talk a lot about personal development, because intellectual superiority over a woman, that is a tool that you can use to help her become better, a better version of who she is. And if she thinks she can get a better deal somewhere else, let her go. The guys are not willing to do that. And if you go abroad, you're going to find that women want material things if they live abroad. A lot of guys try to go to the poorest. They go to poor countries and they go to the poorest part of the country and think that woman is going to respect and honor him because you took her out of the hood. And when she gets here, she won't give a damn about you. She just won't. She's going to get talked out of it. Just like women got talked out of their femininity. See what you... Women have not always conducted themselves. Feminists talked them out of it. They got suckered out of it, man.
Like I said...
Hold on. I got it. I'm saying, men need to take a different kind of stand. And so marriage just never needs to happen then. See, I've spoken to women who are older, even the ones who are older. And just, this is not dating them. This is just talking. I'll give you an example. I met this woman. We were in this place and we were talking. And this woman had to be in her 60s. And you could see when she was younger, she was probably really attractive. She just had remnants of it. This woman was well-educated. She was a psychologist. She worked out. She lifted weights and she ran a lot. So as a psychologist, she went to work in the prison system and she actually would go in the cells, prison cells sometimes, to evaluate prisoners. So she worked out and ran, and she said she never wore high heels because if she ever had to run, if something went down, she needed to be physically fit to get out. And she never wore a dress because she never wanted to sexualize herself in a male prison. So she always wore pants. And she told me about some guy that she really liked and he wanted to marry her. And she told her no, she was choosing her career. And she and I were sitting across from a table. And I said to her, I said, the reason you didn't marry this guy is because he didn't make something clear to you. And what I said is, and I said to her, and I'm going to say this to you one time. And I don't want to have to repeat it. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. And I said, me man, you woman, she
She's like, what? And I literally, physically pounded my chest and said, me, man, you, woman. And that's the way relationships go down. Me, man, you, woman, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can be upset that I said, me, man, you, woman, but I just stated a fact of life, and there's nothing you can do to alter that. And I don't care how much you work out, what you do. That woman almost cried in front of me. This was one of those, I don't need a man. I have an education and a career. And what she said was, well, if he would have addressed me that way, the guys are not willing to do it. They're too afraid of a woman denying them sex. Yet 38% of men are, 38% of marriages are sexless. Yes, if you're principled, I get that. But there are women who are raised with two fathers, and you really do have to sit down and talk to these women. Like, there are things that women don't think about. Like, propaganda works on women. It just does. Just the way their brain works. As someone, when we talked, I talked about attempted suicide. Women attempt suicide, yes, is one way to get attention. But also, many of those women who fail at their, they have failed attempts, they attempt suicide again. I forget what the number was. It was like more than 50% of those women attempt suicide again. And eventually some of them are successful. But women don't deal with conflict and chaos as well as men. Even when you look in a professional world, they look at male and female managers, and yes, women were scored traditionally higher at creating the team environment. There were things that women scored higher than men on. But when it came to handling conflict and chaos and problems, men scored hands down much higher than women. And that's a big reason you need managers and companies to handle the real problem. And women are not good at that. They just aren't. It's why they don't build huge companies that trade on the New York Stock Exchange, but they'd rather ask men to work in a male company. Hey, Silent Lamont, that's why I was talking about hybristophilia. There are a lot of women who, hybristophilia is literally a mental, it's a mental disorder.
Hey, somebody need to come along and knock some of this half Bristol pig out of some of them, because we talking about the majority, we ain't talking about the minority of them.
It might be the majority suffering from hybristophilia.
And that's disgusting.
No, it's not. You just, you look, you got to learn to deal with what's happening in the world. Yeah, it's so, Sean, if you dated a woman like that, men need to be able to sniff out these women with hybristophilia and any other mental disorder. But part of what hurts women, too, is they've been told they can do everything a man can do. And women who have sex with too many women, with women who have sex with too many men, will emotionally traumatize themselves. Women are putting themselves in too many traumatic situations. They believe they can do what men can do, and they're not holding it down like that. They don't want to work the hours that men do. All these things are not in their best interest, but they've been told they can do it, they can have it all, and they can do better than men. So that over time, this becomes a problem, and imagine, if it's been in passed down in the genes to the next generation, you have generations of this. This is how, Kendrick, this is how you get it into a lot of women, because you have generations of emotional trauma, too many sex partners, no father in the house, a mother who's abusive. Like,
a mother who dates men who sexually abuse the children, the sons and daughters. Like, these are problems. And this is, we're seeing the impact of it. Now, I'm not excusing women.
I know you ain't, but one of my solutions to that, Ted, some of these folks shouldn't even be allowed to even procreate. Because I'm just telling you my honest to God opinion about the subject, because they creating generational curses out here. Like you talking about this hypersophilia, yeah, it could be passed on through the generation. Now you messing up generations that's coming along behind on top of drama, on top of hurt and all this other foolishness that's going on out here.
Hey, SW, yes, men live through abuse, but men don't. Women are the weaker. Mentally, women are not as strong as men. They've been telling us that they are, and that's just an outright lie. That's why women attempt suicide 3.5 times more than men. And yes, Kendrick, if it happens to generations, this is a problem, right? So we're seeing this. And what, hey, SW, the other thing, because women have way more anxiety and fear than men, that's why propaganda and advertising work so well on them. That's why 77% of consumer purchases are made by women, not by men, because the advertisers know that they can trick women out of things. See, part of the protection women need is from themselves, not from men. Hey, yeah, hey, look, Silent Lamont, the stat, and I put up the source, Harvard Medical School said that 70% of domestic violence is initiated by women. See, we're not, the media won't put that. They won't put that out there. So 70% of domestic violence is initiated by women. She gets in his face, she becomes physically aggressive. And when she gets her ass kicked, she calls the police and says she was beaten. And it's reported as men are being abusive. But 70% of domestic violence initiated by women, that's across races. This is a big problem. And no one wants to address that. But see, Imperator, women have always needed to be protected from themselves. See, once men became accepting and let them, like, took the leash off and let them be like the dog running without a leash, they ran into the street and now they're getting hit by trucks. Women need to be protected from their own minds. Their minds go crazy. Their minds just go in directions that have nothing to do with what's happening. These are just things that men have to understand. And, you know, you factor, and that's not even factoring in they have a menstrual cycle or pregnancy or menopause. It's not even factoring in. That's just the way their brain works. Well, look, there are women who try to slug it out with men and end up getting their ass kicked for a fight that they started. Exactly, Victorino. Right. They press their own self-destruct button. Exactly. That's exactly. And I think men have known this for thousands of years and created a society where women were protected from themselves. We lifted that constraint and let them just run out and do anything. I mean, the smartest thing men could have done back in the 60s was to say, if you really believe you can do anything a man can do and do it better, then you should go pack up your bags. We'll carve out an island, or we'll carve out a place and build a wall around you, and you build your own economy. You just live on, you'll have no men. And if you don't like that, then build your own companies. But there has never been a reason to bring women in corporations built by men because they are not as productive. There are some jobs where women are more productive for whatever reason, you know, your fingers need to be smaller, for whatever the reason, that those jobs exist. But beyond that, they're not. You look at the medical profession, our healthcare costs are going up because women don't want to put in the hours that men put in. And when it comes to delivering babies, for years, men put in crazy hours to deliver babies. The women, when they get these jobs, they're like, no, they want 9 to 5, which means before it took 100 men to do a job. Now it takes 150 women to do the same job, which means costs for health care go up for everyone. But see, yes, look, Silent Lamont, yes, they press their own self-destruct, and men turn around and coddle them. And men turn around and say, well, you know, that guy just doesn't understand me. And say, well, women have had it hard. See, when we try to make excuses for women, like just accept the way their brain works, it's self-destructive. Three and a half times more likely to attempt suicide. That's called self-destruct. They need help, support, and the way they do it is to slit their wrist or take pills. Come on. They're making decisions based off emotion. I know a guy who was married for about 20 years. His wife, like, it was a violent, ugly divorce. And he gets his divorce. He remarries. And 10 years after the divorce, his first wife says, why did you let me get a divorce from you? You knew I was just acting crazy. You knew I was going to come around. She still loved him. She knew she made a mistake. She never remarried. I don't think he's still today. So, look, part of the problem is too many fathers are raising their daughters to be feminists. They're not raising their daughters to be wives. Hey, thanks for Hold on, Kendrick. Super chat from Sean. Women make good welders, poor fabricators. To your point, if you get what I'm saying. So, you know what? There was a story about welders exactly. The women were complaining that the female welders were getting paid less. And so when they broke it down and said, look, the reason you get paid less is you take more breaks than men, you get tired faster than men, and you need more breaks, you have to go to the bathroom. And the woman said, well, that's not fair. You know, I have my period, and when my period comes, these things happen. If I have children, I have to take off. And so they were saying, well, if you have your period and you get more tired than men, why should we pay you the same as a man when you're not doing the same job? It took a bit when the women started to get it. See, this is part of what I'm saying. We've let women just run and believe that they've been doing better, and women haven't realized that we've dropped, that we lowered the bar for them for so many things, and they believe that they're outperforming us. But men are not saying, look, you're not doing as well as you think you're doing. Even in relationships, men are not checking women. And for you guys who were not here in the beginning, I was talking about this Middle Eastern woman. One day we were walking in Manhattan, and she starts like, yeah, she starts nitpicking at me. And I said, whoa, when's your period coming? Is your period coming next week? She said, what does that have to do? I said, when is your menstrual cycle? She said next week. She started laughing, and she jumped on my back, and she stopped nitpicking with me. Women in the U.S. would rather argue and fight instead of deal with the fact, look, your period's coming, and you're acting really funky. In the Middle East, this woman was accustomed to having greater respect and honor for men. So when I said, hey, you know, your period's coming, chill out, she respected that. But
that came from her household, growing up with her father. A-Style of Lamont, thank you for that, man. Thank you for the super chat. So a lot of dads are raising their daughters to be exactly what we see. They're raising them to be feminists and not seeing that they're actually doing that. They think they're helping their daughters, but they're setting up their daughters to be the cat woman. Single, what do they call them, spinsters with 10-plus cats. Best in the cook, clean, and stay sexy. And look, there are men in higher socioeconomic classes who expect that and get it. That's why the divorce rate is much lower in affluent classes. What do you mean, who is we? I'm all men. All men. Even the women who want to be promiscuous, they should be penalized for that. The dudes will still marry them. There are guys marrying strippers. Come on, man. Prostitutes.
Not this boy here. I don't know where they do that.
Should a man get with an ugly chick? I can't answer that. That's not for me to answer. I mean, there's some ugly men out there who should be with ugly chicks. So, yes, the ugly guys should be with ugly chicks. Sure.
I'd rather settle with a sack of hammer, Pete.
Yeah, men can check women. I mean, so look, one way is to just turn your back and walk away from women. But what's been missing is the education. So then the women just think that you can't handle them and that you're running from them like cowards. But if you check them and then leave them out there, and every man does that. Yeah, I've probably blown it for a lot of women because I checked them. Now, some women have come back or said that you can't, you know, chase me away, but I've checked a lot of women and I got nothing out of it. I just didn't want to play the game. But the intent was the next guy will have an easier time. And if men could think about that, look, men are just thinking, well, I got to get this pussy now. But if you check them, and the next guy, if every guy does that so the next guy has an easier time, then you will get your easier time. What do you mean, Sean? They like fight so you can have makeup sex? Hey, well, look, you said a reflection of your social standing. Those guys are able to go to a higher socioeconomic class because their women understand they work for their men. And they go out and network. If you guys have ever heard of a guy named Grant Cardone, someone recently asked him, how important is your wife's network and her ability to network? And he said, extremely. He said in the 2008 recession, he would have never been successful if it wasn't for his wife's ability to network. She opens huge doors. If a woman understands that she's working for you, she's helping to make life easier for you. But a lot of women are out here competing with men. So people get to go up in their social standing because the woman understands that she's there working for you to make life easier for you. Her job is to open doors for you through her network. You see, men are not demanding that from women. See, if you start asking women, hey, let's talk about your network, and she might think she has a valuable network, except for you, it's nothing. It's like, okay, so you're really attractive, but there's really nothing you can do for me. You can't open doors for me. You're not even accustomed to, from where I'm going, you're somewhere else. So you're basically a piece of ass. If men can make that clear, see, That because that forces women to be an asset. They have to do something. Right now, women know they don't have to do anything tangible to make life easier for you. How about women who lead a whole stable of women or a stable of men? If they lead a stable of women, I guess that's a madam or feminist who tricked women out of their femininity. Hey, look, SW, if she's ugly and a man is ugly, he should be with her. If she's very intelligent and she can open doors. Now, I know of cats who were what you would consider to be a good-looking guy and married an ugly woman. She could open doors for him. She made life easy for him. He cheated on her. And when she wanted a baby, he was trying to figure out how to not have a baby with her. But eventually she got her way. So guys do it, SW. They do it. But ugly men should marry ugly women. I mean, you know, if we want the world, people to be more beautiful, then we'd have to stop ugly people from having babies. But, I, you know, there's some ethics behind that. So.
No, what they need to do to you, they need to stop laying up willy-nilly and go back to doing things in a natural, decent, orderly fashion way.
He's asking me about ugly women. It's that he's just asking a specific question about, should men marry ugly women even if she's intelligent? That's what he's asking me.
I say, like, if you average folk need to marry average folk.
And ugly people marry ugly people. There's nothing wrong with that.
It ain't. But the problem is folk blowing everybody's heads up, listening to everybody's head. That's the problem.
That's
what I'm saying. Everybody being influenced by somebody.
Well, that men are being too liberal with women in understanding, and that doesn't
work.
What do
you mean by that?
Just letting women do what they want to do. That doesn't work.
But who, this the thing, though. Which group of men around? Is it the men with the power that's around here? Or is it the typical everyday men that's around here?
No, listen, it's not the men with the power because they don't accept that from their wives. So it's not them. They're not marrying strippers and whores. So you run your own. Look, what men accept from women in society is what women will get away with. If you keep rewarding someone, look, if you have a child who's a pyromaniac and plays with matches in a house and you go give that child a lighter, they're going to burn your house down. Men have given women a lighter. They're burning the house down. That's right, Imperator. Right. Don't marry the promiscuous woman. Tell women, look, you set yourself up. Look, women who have sex with too many men are emotionally unstable. You don't marry that.
All kinds of unstable. You don't marry it. That's all kind of unstable.
Kendrick, hold on. You definitely don't want to have children with her. Because she'll end up traumatizing your children. Fred, what were you saying? What were you saying, Kendrick?
Oh, I was agreeing with Ted. You don't marry it. Like I say, that's like a what you call a booty call type of situation. But you don't marry that, and you don't. And God knows, you don't procreate with it. And that's what the problem. Too many dudes is out here just procreating with some of anything, everything. Now it could be me, Ted. Stop me if I'm wrong. I don't know if it's the betas or the simps that's out here doing all this push. But I don't categorize myself as either one. So I don't know who doing what, kid.
Okay. Hey, Silent Lamont, you said I'm asking men to be principled simply for the sake of the next man having it easy. That's right, because I won't even call it paying it forward. That's how you get all men to check all women. If all men let one woman slide,
then that's millions of women who are going to get just slide. They get a pass. Stop giving women a pass. Sean said they're fighting because they're horny. Yes, there are women who get upset and they want to have sex and they don't know how to ask for it. Hey, look, there are some beautiful women who want to be treated at bottom of barrel, but you know what? You also have to look at the socioeconomic class of that woman. See, that's another thing guys need to be looking at. A hood rat is a hood rat. Even if she has a PhD, she's just a hood rat with a PhD. Yeah, Imperator, he didn't want to have and she was well-educated and had a great job. He didn't want to have a baby with her. And West Coast, you're saying it, make her, like he said, like I said, make her earn your attention. Make her earn it. And if she's out of line, correct her for it. This is the thing, you guys are not correcting them when they get out of line. You can't keep smiling and taking them out and telling them things to make them feel good when they're just being like children. How do you raise your children to grow up to have a good life? You correct them when they get out of line. Doesn't mean you have to beat their asses, you know, tie them and beat them, but you correct them. Yes, yes, the marriage rate has dropped significantly. See, the average woman has a body count higher than whores, huh? You don't negotiate with terrorists. No, you don't. But the problem is men are also raising their daughters to be whores. They're telling them to go out and try your options. They're telling girls this. They're telling girls that men only want one thing. This is a problem. We're raising girls to believe men only want one thing. If you ask a woman, look, tell me what else you offer. If it's only sex, I'm okay with that. I'll accept that, and that's all I'll take from you. But understand, if I meet someone who offers more, I'm walking. But women come into relationships believing that men only want one thing, and that's the only thing they have to be prepared for. And a lot of guys accept it. So your reward, you can't keep giving them gifts and money, and that's all they offer is a hole, unless you guys are doing backdoor, you got two holes, right? Or a blowjob. Right, Sean, man, it's too many fathers are doing this, and they think they're protecting their daughters. There are a lot of women who are promiscuous. But see, men have allowed it. See, women know that they can be promiscuous and someone will still wife them. They believe this. I mean, a lot of women are going through a rude awakening right now. What do you think of that, Kendrick? These women who thought they could be promiscuous and men would still marry them. Give me your thoughts.
I totally agree with it, you know, because men just not having it. Real men now. I'm talking to us real men. We not standing for that. So maybe it's, you know, it's this subject getting, like you said, to most of these wimps and these suckers out here, there's allowing this pushing. But to the real men, no sir, we not doing it. And that's hurting a lot of women, Ted. That's hurting them real good. Almost to the point where I don't even know how to describe it. What you think about that, Ted?
Guys who were not here at the beginning, I was talking.
about this Middle Eastern woman I was dating. One day we were walking in Manhattan, and she starts right there.
What happened?
I lost you for a second, Pete. All
right, I'm here. So, yeah, if guys marry promiscuous women, then it's, look, I know it's an extreme, it sounds stupid, but if a child is lighting matches in the house all the time, playing with fire, and you buy them a lighter, you're giving them a license to continue to light fires in the house. So if a woman's promiscuous and you treat her just like she's she has a clean womb, a virgin, you're rewarding her for bad behavior.
Yes, sir. And that bad behavior eventually, Ted, what's going to happen is over time, you're going to have a whole lot of them believing that oh, I can always give me a stamp or a blue pill to, you know, we're going to allow me to get away with this stuff. But what happened when you think, you see what I'm saying, when a lot of this stuff started backfiring and a lot of the blue pills and the simps started, you know what I'm saying, everybody started waking up and converting back to men, then what them women going to do?
Yeah. So,
But, you know, basically that's what's happening now. A lot of dudes, you know, waking up to you.
Absolutely. And you know what? Sean Hensley said something important. Mandatory DNA testing at birth. See, men need to be having those conversations early on, like really early on, about mandatory DNA testing, prenuptial agreement, all of that.
I'm for it. I really am, and that'll read a lot of, you know, that'll read a lot of women out. You know what I'm saying?
But so, you see, we could wait for the law to say it's mandatory DNA testing, or men could say, this is my demand. This is how I move forward. This is how things move with me. The system is made up of human beings, man. It's people. See, women will come together and support one another and put money behind one another, and they will go out and do all these crazy things like marching and wearing pussies on their head. If men want to do this, you have to understand how our socio-political system works. It's money. It's lobbyists. And are men willing to put their money behind policies to change things? See, women are doing it. Are men willing to do that? About 2 years ago in Japan, some governor was running for office, and I guess they're Providence. And the women announced clearly, if men elect this governor, and the women thought this governor was a chauvinist, the women said, we're not going to have sex with you. And what the men did in Japan, they voted for this guy. Hands down, he won by a landslide. The men spoke. The women had, what were the women negotiating with? A vagina? I mean, see, that's the thing that men need to be able to let women know, your only negotiating chip has no value to me. And yes, I understand there are women in other countries and you can, you know, bring women here, but then you may find out women are just women. So see, if you tell, this is why I'm saying, Silent Lamont, these are conversations that you're having early on. This is the way it's going down. This is my program.
men need to be presenting a program to a woman, because women are presenting their program to you. They're telling you how they're independent, they're tough, don't put roles on me. Men need to be laying this down. And if they don't like it, just let it go. You see, look, Silent Lamont, a lot of these problems that men are having, I lived with a woman 5 years and another one 3 years. She and I were in a relationship for almost 4 years. We lived together 3 out of that almost 4. And I did not accept these things that you're hearing that men are dealing with. I just didn't. I didn't have these problems. See, well, here's the problem, Silent Lamont. Men are walking away and going abroad, and they're creating the same exact environment in the Dominican Republic, Colombia, Brazil. The same thing that they wanted to get away from here, they're creating it somewhere else. And that's the thing that a lot of guys don't see.
We need to kill that feminism stuff by the root, kid.
I didn't understand what you said.
I said we need to uproot that this feminism ideology out here by the root.
Yeah.
A
lot of men in the U.S. are feminists and don't know it. It's like even women who claim to be against it, they're promoting feminism.
I know you're telling the truth, because I saw something not too long ago where it done spread it to a foreign country over there in the east somewhere. I forget where it was at. It might have been somewhere over there near where the Philippines, over in that area, one of them places over there. And boy, when I tell you, it spread over there, now the women in that country becoming obese. And them people normally over there in them countries don't be obese. I had to find that article for you, Ted.
Okay.
But yes, sir, it was an article. Somebody did a video documentary that it was spreading to one of those Asian countries over there somewhere. And I couldn't even believe it. So, like you said, some of these feminist dudes is taking that mindset over there and recreating that same... these same ideologies over there in them people's country.
Okay.
That ain't good for nobody either, Ted.
Sean, when you say men will adapt, that is exactly the problem. Men keep adapting to women's demands. That is exactly it. See, as long as men keep... Look, if you set boundaries and say... This is out of bounds, and someone said Japan has been a male country. Well, the U.S. was also, very much. But once you start lowering the bar, and you let them cross the boundaries, then you get exactly where we are. See, men keep adapting. It's like, okay, well, we got to do this different. It's like, no. What's wrong with saying no? Yeah, SW, right. Women have had things given to them. They want to work in a corporation built by men. I did a video saying women really want to get rid of men. So men build up a whole civilization. They do all the hard work. They find these new industries. They invent industries. They go into the mines and get iron ore and copper and drill oil. And now that everything is sustainable, women say, well, we can do this without you. I mean, technically, long term, men could be on a path of extinction and told they're not needed. So if you keep adapting, that's actually the path.
See, how do you feel, or what's your thoughts on some of the experts coming up with the artificial womb? Because they saying that's in the near future, real soon, man.
No, they're successful with it already. They are.
Oh, really?
Up with it. So this is I did a show on that. That they have artificial womb. They have artificial sperm, artificial egg. They have artificial womb. Women could say completely remove men out of the workforce. Certain jobs are robotic. You go to robotics and men are not needed. Just put men out on a military, have a war, let men get slaughtered, and take them out of the workforce completely. And men will just keep adapting to that. Until you adapt to extinction. The government didn't give women liberation. Men gave it to. See, feminism can only exist if men allow it to exist. And there are nations that won't allow it to exist.
So in other words, what you tell me, America been brainwashing it and stuff now.
I guess that's one way to look at it, is brainwashing. See, but here's the fact. Women have not changed, right? The biology of a woman is the biology of a woman. They still have the same brains they had 500 years ago. Women haven't changed biologically. Men and women are not equal. That hasn't changed. Technically, nothing has changed. And I have proof, because there are countries and there are communities here in the U.S. who have maintained their culture. So women are still the same. Right. And Sean, right, they won't be able to maintain the infrastructure, but they might believe that they could.
That's laughable.
Or the U.S., the U.S. becomes the first country where there are no men, or men are just like drones, right? Like almost slaves, right? There men are, and China will come in and take over, or the drug lords in Mexico will come in and take over. And that's when women will say, well, we need our men. Why aren't they protecting us?
Ooh, you done created a bunch of units. Ooh.
But men really are being set up for this. They really are. And I may sound ridiculous for saying this, but the playing field is being set up. Technology in the workforce, machines, outsourcing. You have advances in science with artificial wombs. You have so many advances, man.
Don't forget transhumanism, T.
No, technically a society could run, I'm not saying long term, but a society could run without men. If it's already built up, the women could run it. And they may actually be delusional enough to believe they can do this until someone comes in and takes over, and it'll be a very masculine society like China. China's already concerned that their boys are growing up and not understanding how to be understand masculinity. So China is starting to teach their boys how to be masculine.
But you know something that I find curious about China, too. China has the highest population of single leftover women in the world, too. They outnumber Americans just that much. That's how many of them over there. Plus,
China has a shortage of women.
It might have been Japan or somewhere, but it was a whole lot. I just got through watching a documentary not too long ago. It's a lot of leftover women in that country, Ted.
Okay.
I don't know what is it. I don't know what parts of China now. But that's something to look into as well.
No, China has, they killed off over the past like
40 years, if a woman had a girl, too many girls were aborted, so they have too many men and not enough women. China has a problem, not enough women.
Okay.
And India. India also is in the same predicament.
That's interesting, yeah. But in conjunction with it, I still don't believe, you know, China dealing with a lot of the dating and mating strategy that's going on here in America. Could you agree to that?
Say that again.
I'm saying, and as an opposite to America, I don't think China's still dealing with a lot of this dating and mating strategy stuff that's going on here in the United States, right?
Well, I just played a video, and women in China want the same thing that women in the U.S. want, so.
I mean, them as a whole, I'm talking about the country as a whole, not dealing with what America's dealing with. That's what I'm basically asking.
Oh, that's a different question. No, the answer is
okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, you can look, Silent Lamont, build your own neighborhoods. No matter what you say, you're going to have to put money behind it. It has to be money behind it. And if you're going to build your own neighborhoods, then you're going to need policies to support the success of those neighborhoods, whether it's tax incentives, whether it's jobs. You're going to need something that makes – you're going to need jobs for that community. I mean, if you're going to carve out your own island, and that's great, but then you're going to, no matter what, you're going to need natural resources. You're going to need access. You're going to need, you will have to start owning industries. For example, you drill oil, and with the oil, you refine it. You make oil for cars. You make gasoline. And you make oil products. You own that industry. You own from taking it out the ground to making final products. You own a whole industry. You can do the same with iron ore. And you make other industries. That way you create jobs. No matter how you do this, this is going to require investment. And yes, it's going to require men to do this and not women. No matter how you look at this, it's going to take some alignment of capital for men to build something. And when you start building something like that, then that's when you have political power. That's when you sit down with lobbyists and tell them to write policies that support men. No matter how you do it, it's still going to come back to that. You're going to have to write policies. Men have to start thinking about power. And stop thinking that women are running things. They're really not. Women are just being told what to do. They're being parrots. They're not running things. That's the other thing men need to understand. Women are just parroting what they're being told. It's coming out of the media. It's coming out of school. They don't even know they're saying these things. Like, they don't even think them. They just, like a parrot is not intelligent. They just repeat what they heard, sounds, words. Parrots should, there's no way a parrot should be able to outsmart a man. They're consumers, Sean. They're buying stuff, but they're in debt. College debt, credit card debt, car debt, they're in debt. That's why they're asking men to pay their bills, because their lifestyles are unsustainable. Yes, it's not about money. That's why I use the word power. Here's the other thing that men need to understand. You can vote with your money. And I understand it sounds like I'm saying, see, all of this sounds impossible, except when Gandhi got the British out of India, he was one man, and no one listened to him before. If men don't start having these conversations with other men,
Everything is impossible. So what conversations are we having with other men? What conversations are we having with women? For women to understand where men are coming from. Anyway. You guys get what I'm saying. That's, hey, look, SW, I said it's about, look, if you stop buying, if everyone stopped buying from Nike, they would go out of business. And that means they lose all of their power, political power and any other power. You could do the same to McDonald's. You can do this to companies. When I lived in Mexico, there's a state called Michoacán in Mexico. I didn't live in that state. But I was seeing a woman from that state. And she said they had McDonald's and Burger King and Pizza Hut. No one ate there, and all of them had to close their doors. They all went out of business. They could not sustain their businesses in the city of or the state of Michoacán or certain cities because no one would buy it. You can vote with your dollars. Men can take their money and put it somewhere else. Well, men do that. I mean, you can wipe Nike out. You can wipe McDonald's out. And I understand women will still go there, but if men took their money out. Everything sounds impossible. And we've been taught to justify why things are impossible. This is how flying happened with the Wright brothers. It was impossible because if he were meant to fly, he would have wings. Yeah. Look, there are people in this country who probably won't lay down as easy as you think. They showed that by going up on the Capitol building. Technically speaking, if men went on strike for a week, women would be completely paralyzed. That means no transportation, no infrastructure, nothing. Women couldn't run this by themselves. They haven't come to that realization yet. And too many men believe they need women. This has to be a complete mindset change. Look, from where men's mindset is now, everything looks impossible. If men don't start developing a new mindset that they can see so they can see new possibilities, the situation will stay exactly the way it is, and men will continue to live. And the more you adjust, the more powerless you become. We established that women are using the same language in different countries. They're all saying the same things. So for the guys who believe they're just going to go abroad and find another woman, women are looking for the same things. And I saw that when I lived abroad. Hey, Sean, thanks for that. Exactly. We'd have, and if women went on strike for a year, the economy would thrive. We'd have more productivity, more work. We'd have increased workplace productivity. The mindsets of men will have to transform because men have accommodated. I know people use the word adjust. Men have accommodated women. And I think what men don't see is what that has done for the mind
of men, you keep accommodating someone. I don't think women are bullies, but just imagine in the schoolyard where the bully pushes up on you to assert his dominance over you, and you adjust to it, and you accommodate them, and you become weaker and weaker, and they push harder and harder until they have you in a corner and tell you you don't come out. Men support the trend. Men support the trend in so many different ways and don't see it. This is the problem. There are so many men who are feminists and don't know it. As soon as people understand that power is in people, yes, men are pushing back. You know, the all-time lows for marriage, right? That's, you know, yeah, Simp City, that's a problem, Kendrick, country boy. But see, men are not making demands. They just aren't. And see, men keep thinking that you need everyone to do it. You just don't. And look, as a man, I know what it's like to compete. I've competed in sports, a lot of different sports. I've competed in other things. Men can cooperate much better than women. We just can't. But what women had is they were told that men were the enemy. See, once you have a common enemy, it's easy to work together. I mean, just think, hypothetically, if some civilization came to planet Earth from another galaxy and they came here to conquer, all of a sudden, all these nations that can't work together would all of a sudden be working together because they'd all then have a common enemy. I'm not suggesting that women are the enemy, but I'm suggesting that it's bad behavior that has to be corrected. And perhaps there is an enemy, and it's feminism. Then let them build civilizations on Mars. Let them build cities on Mars. Let them go. I mean, technically, that's where men needed to stand back in the 70s when women said, I don't need a man. They should have said, that's fine. Go build your own civilization. Like, that's the place that men need to be. Like, why are you still here? If men are really the enemy and the problem, why would you still be here? So what is it? If it's bigger than man versus woman, what is it? Yeah, civilization is constantly being built. And civilization, and look, if we dig deep enough, we'll find a ruin. We'll find a civilization under this one. And then we'll dig deeper and find another civilization under that one. So, but whose agenda, right? So why do people keep adjusting to agendas instead of saying no? Like, what are they going to do? See, this is what people in the U.S. are not understanding. Back in the 1990s, I lived in D.C., and the United States government said they ran out of money and that government workers had to come to work and they just wouldn't be paid. It went on for a month. Well, in France, while the United States government said they didn't have money, France said the same thing to their people. they said, hey, the French government has run out of money, and you're going to have to come to work and not get paid, and we don't know how long. The French people said, I tell you what, if you don't pay the government workers, the whole country is going to shut down. We're all going on strike. And the French government said, oh, look, we found money. They couldn't play the same game. In the U.S., we keep adjusting. We keep adjusting and keep adjusting and accommodating. That what I just gave you was two countries in the same exact situation, and the United States adjusted. The French people said no. Do we keep saying it's hard to do this nationwide? With social media, it's even easier. Then let them destroy the earth. Then they destroy the earth and we all die. That's it. And this is all a wasted conversation. And maybe that's happened before. But all I'm saying is that here in the U.S., we keep allowing ourselves to be separated. And it's only...